Well, what a tremendous move of God already tonight, and thankful for the folks that have come out on this Monday night. And we're just looking for the crowds to grow every evening and pray that God will have His will and His way in these nights of service, and that folks will see the need to come and be refreshed, be revived, be stirred, and enjoy camp meeting. God does things at camp meeting that we don't see happen any other place. I believe that. And the reason that happens is because it's a time when churches come together in unity and come together in love. And I realize that this is the denomination's camp meeting, but I think that this denomination needs to realize that you've blessed a lot of other lives as well. I know that many of your preachers have served in other churches outside of the denomination. Some have gone on to work in various denominations. Others are serving in independent churches. And I realize that the impact that this group of people have had over the years have been tremendous in our area. And we have a right to thank God for what He's done through this denomination. Thank God for the heritage that you have. And I want you to know that I'm not Christian Baptist, but I love Christian Baptist. And I think when we get home to heaven, there won't be Christian Baptist or any other Baptist or any other holiness. But we'll be under the banner of the blood. But until then, I'm glad God has brought us together to work together and labor together. And I will say this, God has put in my heart a special love for your people. When God certainly began to work years ago, the many times that Dad has preached from this pulpit, he's in heaven looking down tonight. It's the first time I think I've preached in this meeting that he or my mother wasn't sitting somewhere back in the crowd, but I think he's looking over the banisters of glory tonight. Doesn't see anything bad going on, just sees the good. He preached his final sermon on January the 10th before about 800 or 900 people in Tampa, Florida, and preached on the step of death. Probably sustained a heart attack during that message and came out of the pulpit, told my mother he was ill, and they rushed him straight to the hospital, and about 3 o'clock that morning he took a one-way flight to glory. We know where he's at, and we know where all these others that have gone on before us are at. We know the hope that we have. Don't get anxious, because I won't preach long tonight. I mean that. I won't preach long. What I have to say doesn't take a lot of time to say it. I don't know a lot anyway. But I had this on my heart. Let me do two things real quick to prove to you what I'm saying about the impact this group of people has had on other lives. Everyone here tonight that does not belong to a Christian Baptist church, you're visiting from whatever church, you may not attend church regularly, but you're here tonight. All the people that are not Christian Baptist, stand up if you're able. Stand up. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, that's probably close to half the crowd, isn't it? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That means that you've shown love and hospitality to others, and you're to be commended for that. And thank you for allowing those of us that maybe are not members in your churches to still come and worship with you and enjoy a little bit of heaven before we go to heaven. This is one of the great camp meetings in America where the fire of God is still present, where shouting is still in order, where preachers love to preach. I've seen some of them go the other way, where used to folks, they cherish the opportunity to preach, and now they're praying, Lord, don't let them call me. Because they backslid. They've fallen away to nothing. You don't have to say amen for me to preach. I'm used to preaching in churches, don't say amen. I just keep going anyway. But if you say amen, I get done a lot quicker. Don't have a lot of strength in my body anymore, and when I preach hard, I give out quick. So preach me hard. We can take it. I wanted you to see, though, what your impact is. You need to see that. And to whom much is given, much is required. That's a great responsibility on this organization. Don't let the fires go out. Keep the fires burning bright. Keep standing for old-time holiness. Keep loving people and preaching and praying and shouting and singing. And it's all right to sing, thank God I'm free, and act like you are. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Somebody said, well, we're not saved by feelings. No, but I'm glad I can feel Him every now and then. Yesterday morning in our home church, the power of God came in such a sweet way. I told Candy, I said, I don't know what happened to me Sunday morning. But I know one thing, if God would have put much more on me, I'd have been out of here. I think the glory of God can come to a point. Our dear old pastor used to say, I believe the Lord can bless a man to death. I think God wants to bless us that way, where we get that close to heaven. And I have a love for your work and what you're doing. And I never want to go into a meeting. Every time I go into a meeting, Brian will tell you this. He's worked with me for years now. I pray during that week of meeting, Lord, let me be a part of those people. If I'm in a church or a camp meeting or wherever I'm at, I have to be a part of you. I have to feel the pain that you feel. I have to share the blessings that you share. If I don't carry the burden that you're carrying, then I'll never be effective. I'll just be like a robot and spit it out and go on down the highway and will none be any better. But if we become a part of one another and God bonds us in unity and love through the power of the Holy Ghost, then we'll leave and know that God has brought us together for a purpose. God has a reason for me being here this week. So I began to search my heart and I said, Lord, camp meeting is coming. Those folks work hard and they love you. And I know that sometimes when you work in the work of the Lord, you can get discouraged if you're not easy. I don't mean to put a dark cloud on the service tonight, but there's battles that you fight. Sometimes there's times that you look around and you say, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where we're going to turn. Every denomination has different arms that's reaching out, different facets. Sometimes you wonder how we can keep that going. And does the Lord speak to anyone else about those things? Last week, I had spent quite a bit of time in prayer. I was on the road a lot. In fact, there's some from down in the Tollsboro, Kentucky area with me tonight, and they've driven up. I appreciate them. Tommy operates a great prison ministry. I've worked with him, and good to have their family with us. I spent a lot of time on the road last week. And while I was praying through the week, for some reason, World for Christ missions just burn on my heart. And while I was in the office, I don't know why that I hadn't got it. It was postmarked before on the stamp that came through. Even though it was a non-profit rate, they'd postmarked it on my end. It must have gotten tied up in the mail. But I looked at the letter and I read some of the needs there. And I said, Lord, I'm not Christian Baptist, but I'm saved all over. And I love those folks. They're in my family. And I get tired of going into meetings and everybody leaving and saying all the preacher did was come to take from us. I'd like to give them something next week. So I started praying and I asked Brian to contact Ruth, and two things caught my attention. You have two churches, one in the Philippines, if I read correctly, and one in Haiti, that both of those churches do not have a roof for their church. That means they're meeting in inadequate facilities while we sit in the cool and enjoy the blessings of God. If a storm comes by, they don't have that convenience. Everybody deserves what we have. So I told Brian, I said, get a hold of Ruth and see if you can find out something about those projects. And he called. And I said, don't tell her anything. I just want to see what the needs are. And Ruth, I hope that we're on the same page. As near as you can tell from your conversation with both places, Haiti needs about $1,500 and the Philippines need $1,200, and that'll cover the roof for the church and the parsonage there. And I got on the phone and made some phone calls. Now, I don't have much money. I know that's, a lot of you don't believe that, but I don't care. I don't have much money because I give it away. So I sowed some seed faith into this, and then I started making some calls to our board of directors, and I told them what was on my heart, and they graciously acknowledged that. And I'm going to ask Brother Brian to come if he would. And tonight, I have a check here that I'd like to give World for Christ Missions for $2,700 to cover both of those roofs. Take care of everything for you, Ruth. To God be the glory for all of it. He sent it in and we give Him praise for all of it. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Oh, God, bless those people overseas. Lord, help them reach souls in Jesus' name. I say glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings on us.
God, you've been so good to us in this country. Met every need that we had. Put food on our table and shoes on our feet. Give us a wonderful place to worship tonight. Lord, bless those people, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I think I could quit right now and go home. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Ruth, God loves you and God loves them. God knows what we need. I'm about to have a happy spell tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. You say, preacher, takes people with money. You don't have to have money. Just got to know people's got some. Whatever it is in front of you, God can meet the need. God has brought us to this place for such a time as this. We're living on the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that we can do to invest in lost souls, we need to do it for the glory of God, that men and women can be saved. And when you give to the prophet in the name of the prophet, you'll reap the prophet's reward. Payday is coming at the end of the road. Well, thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Well, bless the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're not going under, we're going up. God has never wanted to do more than He's doing right now. The power of God has come as never before to help us in these days to reach out to people that have not heard the message and tell them Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He turns lives around. He'll change lives completely. He hasn't changed at all. His power is still here. The Word of God's still sure. And He'll save souls that'll come to Him. Maybe I'm feeling something different up here than what you're feeling back there. Well, glory! Glory, 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 glory! Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord. Well, glory, glory, the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. What are you doing sitting down? We want God in this meeting. We ought to get on our feet and say, Lord, thank you for everything that you've ever done for us. Thank you, God, for saving our soul. Thank you, God, for giving us the hope of heaven. Oh, thank you, Lord, for every blessing that you've ever given to us, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Oh, glory. 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 Whoa, bless the Lord. Oh, I'm feeling something tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, it'd be all right to turn around and hug somebody's neck. Say, I'm glad I'm going to heaven with you. I'm glad I've heard the gospel. The Lord has saved my soul. Changed my life. Oh, bless His name. Well, bless His name. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, give us a camp meeting. Oh, camp meeting like we've never seen before. Thank you, Lord. There's still a people that hunger and thirst after righteousness in the day that we live in. Oh, God hadn't changed. God will still do it. He'll still do it. Well, glory. Bless the Lord. Well, glory. We ought to take a 30-minute recess and just shout it out. I'm telling you, if it's in you and it don't get out, it'll hurt you. Oh, glory. Glory. Oh, glory. Glory. I'm so tired of the devil telling people, if you live right and do right, nobody wants to hear it. And nobody will follow it. And it's old fashioned. People's tired of it. I'm not tired of it. Oh, if there's ever been an age that needs to see a genuine revival and the power of the Holy Ghost come back into our services, it's the age we're living in right now. Well, glory! Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get to a text or not tonight. Jim leaned over there a minute ago and said, where are we at in this thing, preacher? I said, we're just about to go home, Jim. Well, glory. Every service I'm in, I approach it as though it's the last service that I'll ever be in. And I ask God, God, if you've got to set me aside to get your glory, set me aside. But Lord, send something real to us in these days. Something satisfying. Something that our young people can look at and say, there is a God that sits on the throne and blesses people. There is a God that makes a difference for all eternity. There's a God that reaches down and rescues people when they're going under for the last time. He loves me. He cares for me. He cares for you. And God wants to help you tonight if you'll call on His name. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. My, 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 my. Oh, glory. Oh, Lord, how we thank you. Oh, oh, Lord. We're taking time for you to do what you want tonight, God. You can have a meeting without Calvin Ray Evans. You can't have a meeting without God. Oh, Lord, send it to us. Oh, God, encourage our hearts. Lift up the brokenhearted. Oh, Lord, those that have been wounded, heal their wounds tonight. Come, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, how we thank you. Waves of glory come on our soul tonight, we pray. Lord, just change my plans. Is that okay? I told him yesterday morning, I've got a preacher friend that I've heard him testify a lot about. When his boy come home from the military, he was in war. He went back across the years to when he was fighting the war. Said every day they got up and prayed for their child. Oh Lord, let the war end today. Let our boys come home. Get them out of the war, Lord. Bring peace. And every day it looked worse than the day before. I got to reading this week in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the Bible has a little phrase in it. The day shall declare it. He said one night we went to bed, and our boys were in war. Said the next morning, when we got up, the President of the United States made an announcement. And said, the war is over. Time for the troops to come home. One man had the authority to declare the war was over. One man, Jesus Christ, has the authority. Say to us, the war's over. Father, I'm going to go bring the troops home. He said they called them to the Air Force, to the base there, rather, in Georgia. And he said they all loaded up family and friends, and they all gathered in. When they got there to the base, he said they were all excited. He said they milled around. He said everybody got there early because the troops were coming home. Said everybody wanted to be there to meet them when they got there. Said so they all got there and they were anxious. And he said we waited and said we thought they should have been there, but they weren't there yet. So said I went to one of the military officials and said, when are they going to get home? And he said, well, sir, they're in the air right now. Just a little while, they're going to make a landing. Out on the runway there, some big buses are going to pick them up. You watch those buses with those big red lights flashing. Said, when you see those lights flashing, said, we want you all to line up and down the main entrances there. Said, that way you'll be there, and the first glimpse they'll get when they get home is of all their family and friends waiting on them. We can see the other side. The other side's not too worried about what's happening in Lebanon. They're not too worried about what's happening in Israel. They're not too worried about our economy. But I think right now, dear old saints of God's going over to the commander-in-chief and saying, when's the troops coming home? They're just about to take a flight. They're just about in flight now. It won't be long, so y'all better start gathering around the gates. Keep the gateways open, and when you see that big red flashing light, those that are under the blood, when you see them coming, you be lined up to greet them. I want them to be the ones that you see when they get home. I want them to see the faces of their friends and of their families and of their loved ones. They're lining up now. Sister Lois is already there. Thank God that is already there. He said, I'm waiting on you, boy. Come on home. Come on home. Preach to the end. Just come on home. Bertha's already there, waving us on. Oh, but it's so different now. Her little hands aren't crippled anymore. She's waving them and clapping them to the Lamb that sits on the throne. And all of heaven saying, just a little while, they're going to be here. They're in flight on their way home. They made an announcement and said, ladies and gentlemen, they're arriving. Now, when they arrive, none of you run and greet them yet. We want them all to get off the bus and get in rank. They all got off that bus and they all got in rank. And the captain got on. Said, ladies and gentlemen, normally the reason that we get in rank is to take roll call. But we don't have to take roll call today. Because when you take roll call is for the purpose of finding out who's missing. He said, we're proud to announce in our battalion, we didn't lose a one in the war. Didn't lose a one. Every one of them made it home just fine. Nobody was complaining. It was the most beautiful day they'd ever seen when their loved ones got off in rank. And he said, I want you to look. We didn't lose a one. I want to tell you something. He's not going to lose a one either. The ones that made their mind up, they're going to heaven. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he said, now before you go greet your loved ones.
I've got an announcement. He said in Atlanta on Thursday night, we want to invite you and as many people as you want to bring to the big arena. He said, because on Thursday night, we're going to present all the troops with their medals and their awards. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm about to take off tonight. We all want you to be there when they receive their medals of honor. Do you know something? There's a payday coming at the end of the way. And the Lord's going to say, all the troops are home. I want all the angels together in the banquet hall of glory. It's time to recognize the soldiers. And pay them for making it through the war. They fought a good fight. They kept the faith. They finished the course. This is the day that they've longed for and the day that they've looked for. It's payday. Just a minute. Y'all know what I'm looking for? About 100 more amens. That's what I'm looking for. What are you in this thing for? I'm not in this thing to make a living. I'm not in this thing to just try to impress a few folks along the way. I started this race to make it home. And at the end of the race, one day God will say, Cal, you preached your last sermon. You shed your last tear. You carried your last burden. It's time to come home, son. Thank God He's going to call all the troops home. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be out of here. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, my, my, my. The roll call will be there not to find out who's not there. The roll call will be to give you the reward. We've got a lady in our church, bless her heart. She stood up and testified one morning, and I've never got over her testimony. Her name is Elsie, and she hated her name. She couldn't stand her name, Elsie, because when she was little, everybody made fun of her name. They'd say, Elsie the cow. Goes back away, doesn't it? She hated that name. So when she got older, got away from home, she thought, I'm not going to go by that name. So when she'd run into somebody, and they'd say, well, hello, what's your name? She'd say, my name's Sue. What she said. For years, everybody knew her as Sue. Only her family and those close to her knew her name was Elsie. Only people that had confidential records knew she was Elsie. And said, then one day she got saved. Said an old-time preacher got up and started preaching that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And she said, just that quick it hit her. Well, if I keep going on like this, one of these days the Lord's going to call for Elsie. And I'm going to be waiting on Him to call Sue. She said, so I made up my mind that day from here on out, my name is Elsie. Because when He calls my name, I'm going to stand up on my feet and bless His holy name for saving my soul. Thank God He knows me by name. He saved me and changed my life. Took every sin away. Made me a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. And one day He's going to call me by name. Not the number, but the name. And say, welcome home, son. Welcome home.
Oh, my, my, my. Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if it takes $2,700 a day to have this kind of meeting, give Paul $2,700 for Wednesday, Brian $2,700 for tomorrow. We'll build every church we can around the world before Jesus comes. Oh, Lord, we love you. Time's running out. I realize most of you here tonight are probably Christians. And I'll just be honest with you. We've all done this. It'll be just the middle of next month, be 30 years I've been preaching. Hard to believe. Some of you there when I preached my first sermon 30 years ago. And in the flesh, I could have just got up here and said something that you might have went away and said, wow, I've never heard anything like that before. But you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather just get out of His way tonight and see a few of you leave and say, wow, I've never felt anything like that before. I don't know what God's doing down there this week, but He's got something special in store for us. I got to go find everybody I can before this week's over and tell them, you better come and get a dish of this. It's too good to pass up. Lord, we love you. Last year, God helped us give away $339,184 worth of free material. It cost us $2,904 a month to mail that free material. On top of that, we gave away over $250,000 to mission groups. On top of that, we gave away over $75,000 to people hurting in the hurricanes. And Brian will tell you this, we did every bit of it by being out in little country churches, just finding people that love the Lord. Said, preacher, I don't want to build a name for myself, but I sure want to lift His name up. These are exciting days. So, Ronnie, you keep cranking it up when you sing, buddy. Choir, you keep bellowing it out. Thank God I am free. Good news, break every string you've got on that guitar, Mark. I'll buy you a new set. Keep singing it. Keep shouting it. Because we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. You know it? There's nothing to hold me. Will I caught a glimpse of that heavenly land? Praise God.